Well, Mick, how long did you know the late Jerome?
I knew Jerome it's 60 years anyway, at least. And he was a lovely man. He was generous, obliging. That man would do anything for you. But first of all, he was a family man. Himself and his wife Eileen, they brought up three boys and a girl, and they worked hard for them, and they worked hard all their life and educated them, and then Jerome's second love was football, and I travelled many roads with him, with Jerome, and there is no doubt, like, he was a great GM, and he was a great man for the club. He worked hard for the club. His tractor, his lorry, in 89 when we opened Park Eamon in Ferncliffe, for the preparation, he was always there and worked hard. And then we had a car drive every Saturday night in Ferncliffe with nearly 20 years, and it was a great way for making money for the club. And Jerome, with the last 9 or 10 years, I'd say, ran that. And he organised the ladies for the tea, and the helpers then for putting out the tables and the chairs and all that. And I remember one evening we were off in Tarbert, and there was about 10 minutes for us were playing. There was about 10 minutes left in the game. And Jerome said to me, "I'll have to go away." He said, "I'll have to start the cars in third and four." That was how dedicated that man was to the club.
And of course, Mick, I know that I love meeting Jerome. I used to meet him all over the country when he travelled up the north to matches. He never missed a match. He was a great man with the Kerry supporters. He travelled everywhere. And you must have great memories of travelling with him. You used to room together, wasn't you?
We used to room together, and we often sat together in the bus. He was fine company, and he'd never say anything bad about anyone. But I can say one night in we were up in Tyrone, I think, and this man, to tell you how generous the man was, this man was a pickpocket, picked his wallet, and Jerome took a 50 euro note out of his pocket and gave it him. That'll tell you how generous the man was. He was a great GM, and like he loved the G, and then he had his son Donal, of course, who played with Kerry, had a great partnership with Dara O'Shea. And from, I think, about 97, until he got injured in 2002, they were the best partnership in Ireland. And Jerome was very proud of Donal, and rightly so. Then he played with East Kerry, won the three in a row. His partner was another Fire's man, Conor Connor. And they dominated football. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think Donal got man of the match in two of those finals. He was so good, like he was an outstanding player, and that very clean player he would never booked in his life.
And of course, when I'd meet Jerome, and of course, as you said, Donald Daly was one of the great Kerry midfielders now, one of the great Kerry midfielders. And Jerome got huge satisfaction and great enjoyment out of following him. But when you'd meet him and start chatting about him, he'd never want to talk about Donald or praise him like that. He was very conscious of the fact that that he didn't want to be blowing him up.
That's very true. He loved seeing playing, and he's still playing, and he's playing out 20 years. He started very young, the 12. I saw nearly all his games, and he's still playing, one of the top players Fires have, and he's more than dedicated to the club as his father was before him.
Jerome must have got great satisfaction, Mick, out of following Donal and seeing him starring in Croke Park, starring all over the country. Did he ever say to you in private about what it meant to him to have Donal playing so well and playing midfield with Kerry?
No, but if anyone ran Donal down, he wouldn't like it. He wouldn't like it. But he didn't. He didn't blow about him at all. No, he just enjoyed watching him and watching the Kerry team. And I can tell you, before Donald ever came along, Jerome was going to Croke Park. I remember back in the 50s and 60s to see Durham inside in the Friary at an early mass, and then the rush up to the train to get a seat in the train. Durham was travelling always. It wasn't just because of his son he was following football. He was always a follower of football up to the day he died.
The one thing that remains etched in my memory about him, Mick, was that he was so quiet and so gentle. He was very, he wouldn't say, as the fella said, boo to goose. Lovely man to meet. I used to meet him outside of the Fanfore Airport when he'd be driving in and out there. I'd meet him at matches. But the one thing that always struck me about him, he was very quiet and very gentle and very unassuming, and he would never insult anybody.
No doubt, Weesey, you described the man very well there. He was lovely company. And he'd never run down anyone. He always had great praise for every player. And he didn't like people running down any player. I mean, they are good to do their best, you say, for God's sake. If you meet a man better, do you know what about it? I mean, the best of them did. All of their bogey men, as we call them. You know, they can all meet a man better than them, I'm sure. What about it? Like, I mean, you can't be. There's too much expected in Kerry of players, anyway. They're expected to shine every day. Like, I mean, you can't do that. Like, I mean, there could be something wrong with you mentally or physically or anything, but you can't give a top performance every day.
In Jerome's later years, Mick, he was ill for a number of years, and it was evident when you'd meet him, and any time you'd ask him how was he, he'd always have the good word.
He never complained. He always had he'd a great heart, and he proved that, like, and he'd never complain about, and sometimes he mightn't be feeling well, but he'd never say it. He always enjoyed the game, and he worked away. He did a lot of work with his lorry, with cattle and all that, and his funeral proved that. It was the biggest funeral ever in Fireys, no doubt, by both days, and there was a guard of honour by the supporters club and the local club, and it was the biggest guard of honour I ever saw. And to tell you how popular the family were, of course, there was G-men from all over the county there. There was cattlemen from all over Ireland, because he was very much involved with cattle and maths and things like that, drawing cattle and that. And then Eileen, his wife, she was an ICA, and all the ICA people were there. There was a massive crowd there. There was people going through for about 4 hours, I'd say, in Fireys that evening, non-stop.
It would be fair to say, Mick, that he was one of the great Kerry supporters, one of the great Kerry supporters, like yourself now and a lot of more of the Kerry supporters club. He travelled everywhere. How will you remember Jerome Dolly?
I remember he was fine company, like, and he was a man that never complained, and he had cause to complain, but he'd never grumble. He'd never grumble, like, and I remember when we'd be coming down from the north of Ireland, maybe it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, in the bus, and I'd ask Jerome to, now that he ring my wife Sheila, to collect me in Fernfore. "You're not at all, Mike," he said. "I'll drive her home." That was the man. Yeah. "I'll drive her home, and why would we be calling Sheila out in the middle of the night?" he said. "I'll drive her home."
Yeah. You'll miss him a lot, Mick.
I will. I'll miss his company. Well, he was one great GM.
Yeah. Well, may the sod rest lightly on him, because he was one great GM and one great family man, and most of all, he was a gentleman of the highest calibre, and he'd be sadly missed, of course, by his wife and his sons and his daughter, and we send them our deepest sympathy. Mick, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Weesey, and I'm only too glad to do it for that man, because he was a gentleman, as you say, and the Lord have mercy on his soul.